This is T. Lobsang Rampa, the author of The Third Eye and of Doctor from Lhasa, speaking to you. Although I am a Tibetan Lama, certain people in England and one man in Germany have tried to discredit me. There is really no point in going into this, because my agent in England and the publishers of The Third Eye and many, many other people in countries throughout the world have seen my papers, wherein it is specifically stated that I am a Lama of the Potala in Tibet and an abbot in my own right. My papers also show that I served in the Chinese forces as a surgeon. Certain sections of the press in England, because I would not give them an interview and would not say what they wanted me to say, started a campaign against me. The real underlying reason was spite on the part of various people, and because I was a person whom they did not understand. So many Western people try to persecute or drag down or discredit those whom they do not understand. My third book, The Truth of the Rampa Story, will tell you all about this. But I want to repeat and emphasize that everything that I have written and said is true and is my own personal experience. Let me also emphasize that I am all that I claim to be. It may be of interest to give a few more details about myself. Details which will embrace something of the three books. I was born in Tibet of a noble family and became a boy monk at a very famous lamasery. As I progressed through my studies, I progressed in rank, in status. Eventually, the time came for me to leave Tibet and go to Chungkin in China. There I studied for and obtained the degrees of Doctor of Medicine, Doctor of Science, and Master of Arts. I also learned to fly aircraft. Later in my life, this became a very great asset to me. In December 1933, the beloved 13th passed on. And I returned to Tibet for a brief visit in order to take part in those sad final rites. The Japanese started their reign of terror in Shanghai on the 13th of August, 1937. I was granted a commission as surgeon captain in the Chinese forces. My duties were to fly to badly stricken centers and perform emergency operations. Early in 1938, I was shot down by the Japanese and taken prisoner. After 3 months, I managed to escape, and I made my way back to Tibet to see my friends and to take part in certain ceremonies. After this, and a visit to my home in Lhasa, I returned to duty with the Chinese Air Force. By now, the World War had started, and the Japanese were winning everywhere. We were short of supplies as the British had closed the Burma Road. Once again, it was my misfortune to be captured by the Japanese. They tortured me very badly when they recognized me as a former prisoner who had escaped. Our escape from the Japanese was a crime indeed in their eyes. As a surgeon, I was sent to the medical officer of a large prison camp for women. Once again, I escaped but was recaptured. Once again, I was tortured. And both my legs were broken to stop me escaping in the future. In 1944, I was sent to Japan to a camp near Hiroshima. Here also it was a camp for women, and I was the medical officer. Some of the women were very influential persons, highly placed and with high social connections. Some, in particular, were dying after torture and had information which the Japanese badly wanted and for which they had been tortured. As they knew the women had told me, they tortured me as well. All these hardships caused pneumonia. When I was recovering from it, the atom bomb was dropped on Hiroshima. In the considerable confusion, because the Japanese were very frightened, I escaped and made my way to the sea, where I was able to steal a fishing boat, and I cast myself adrift on the Sea of Japan, without food, without water, but not without hope. Days later, the boat grounded on the shores of Korea, and I made my way to Vladivostok, getting lifts where I could, and at other times, walking. At Vladivostok, I found many other refugees, some of whom were hiding in goods trains. I concealed myself beneath a wagon of the Trans-Siberian Railway, and we made our way across frozen Siberia. Weeks later, I arrived in Moscow clad in clothing which I had obtained from the wagons. I also secured some food from those wagons, but at times I and others were reduced to eating the grease from the axle boxes and rats which swarmed into the trucks and which we caught with our bare hands and ate them raw. After a few days in Moscow, Soviet guards arrested me and took me to Lubyanka prison as a suspected spy. Brainwashing procedures went on for some weeks. Then I was told I was to be expelled from Russia. I was marched out of Lubyanka prison. One poor man, with an escort of heavily armed guards, and taken to the railroad station. There, still in company with those guards, I was put aboard a train and taken to Strunj in Poland. Once again, I was upon my own. Europe was very unsettled at that time, just after the war. I made my way through Poland, through Germany, and on to Cherbourg in France. There I boarded a ship and worked my passage to the USA, to the port of New York. There, as a member of the crew, I was allowed ashore. I stayed ashore and tried several types of work in an attempt to settle down. One of the jobs was as a radio announcer. After a time, life in America bored me, and I decided to visit England. Once again, I applied for and was given a job aboard ship so that I could work my passage. In 1951, I landed in Southampton, England. My papers were in order, but one of the officials there, for some unstated reason, took an instant dislike to me, and in contravention of all rules and regulations, he just took my papers and ripped them across and threw them away. I was taken off and lodged in a cell. 2 days later, I was removed from the cell and put aboard another ship bound for America. Arrived at New York, I had no papers, and my story that a British official had torn them up was not well received. Well, I will not go into that here, but I will say instead, I had to return to England, because I, like so many other people, have a task and a purpose in life. Mine is in connection with a human aura and a device which I am trying to perfect. I had to return to England. How I actually did it, well, that is in the third book.